Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
This is our happy hour, brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. We're going to be live June 20th. They have a great Mother's Day brunch at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. So start thinking about maybe Mother's Day weekend in Cape May. That could be a lot of fun for you as well. And it's never too early to make your June midweek stay. Like I said, we'll be there June 20th. All right? We won't be babbling about elephants, though. We will have a great live show, and it will be a lot of fun. And maybe we'll talk about the oligarchy. Maybe we'll serve some oligarchy. Maybe we'll have oligarchy and focaccia for everybody. Dunkin' the oligarchy. Olive and garlic. Oligarchy. Now, as I've been watching this whole thing with Ukraine, I'm excited about what Secretary of the Treasury Scott Bessent announced regarding the U.S.-Ukraine mineral deal. And this is cut number 15 here. He announced this on social media. So this is good news. Our money, $350 billion that we spent in this war that Ukraine was never going to win because they couldn't. Cut 15.
Thanks to President Trump's tireless efforts to secure a lasting peace, I am glad to announce the signing of today's historic economic partnership agreement between the United States and Ukraine, establishing the United States-Ukraine Reconstruction Investment Fund. This partnership allows the United States to invest alongside Ukraine to unlock Ukraine's growth assets, mobilize American talent, capital, and governance standards that will improve Ukraine's investment climate and accelerate Ukraine's economic recovery. The Development Finance Corporation will participate and help to establish this fund in collaboration with the government of Ukraine. Today's agreement signals clearly to Russian leadership that the Trump administration is committed to a peace process centered on a free, sovereign, and prosperous Ukraine over the long term. It's time for this cruel and senseless war to end. The killing must stop. And both the United States and the government of Ukraine look forward to quickly operationalizing this historic economic partnership for both the Ukrainian and American people.
Good stuff. And the president talked about how, by the way, there is a Palestinian encampment on the College of Swarthmore, which is right in our backyard here. The encampment, bunch of tents and a bunch of signs of Israel's committing genocide and they stand with the Palestinians, everything. The encampment violates the campus rules against camping on school property. So, but that's Swarthmore. No surprise there, obviously. Shocking. The president talked about Russia and Zelensky and his conversations with him. He did a News Nation town hall last night. He participated in from the Oval Office. He called into this News Nation town hall, which was hosted by the lesser Cuomo, Bill O'Reilly, and Stephen A. Smith, who the president sort of endorsed for president. I'll get to that in a second. Here's what he said. This is cut number 13 from the News Nation town hall. Take a listen.
Yes. What were you and Zelensky talking about when you were nose to nose in the Vatican?
I was telling him that it's a very good thing if we can produce a deal that you sign it, because Russia is much bigger and much stronger. Russia is just chugging forward. It's a big, strong country. By the way, not nearly as strong as the United States, because I rebuilt our military in my first term. They gave a lot of it away in Afghanistan, and Afghanistan is one of the reasons the incompetent, we had an incompetent president, grossly incompetent. He should have never been president. But we had a man that didn't know what the hell he was doing, and Afghanistan showed the stupidity of our leader.
Yeah, and Russia is bigger, and I don't know if they could beat a gorilla, but they are bigger, and it's wise of Zelensky to let this end. But remember, the whole thing was a gravy train. We gave them $350 billion with a B. This was a gravy train. If Cackle's McWord Salad were president right now, first of all, I'd want to be killed by a gorilla. That's number one. But number two, if she were president, she would be giving more money to Ukraine, and this gravy train would continue, and this war would be back in a big, big way. That, understand that. I mean, that's just the bottom line. Bernie would still be screaming about the oligarchy, but Kamala Harris would be sending more and more money to Ukraine. So, and there'd be no talk of peace, and there'd be no mineral rights deal. If you don't like Trump, if nothing else, this should make you happy. Really, if you don't like tariffs, if you, whatever it is you don't like, you, this should make you happy alone. That this, now we have a way to finally end this thing once and for all and make a return on our investment with the mineral rights deal. So thank God for that. I mean, really. But yeah, the president said he'd love to see Stephen A. Smith run for president. Now, Stephen A. Smith would never make it out of a Democrat primary. This is something that I've said before. And I said this on Dana's show, actually. He would never make it out of the Democrat primary, a guy like him. He's not woke. He's against the wokeness. He's not going to stand up there and scream about oligarchy, and he's not going to do all the things that the Democrat Party wants right now. He'd be a guy who would try to find solutions and would try to work with the people on the other side of the aisle. That is not what the Democrat Party wants. What the Democrat Party wants is they want things like the Palestinian encampment at Swarthmore. That's basically a microcosm of that. Or they want Bernie Sanders yelling in Philadelphia. I don't see his side piece there. Is AOC not with him today? Or she just has not been introduced yet, Matt? Do you know?
I have not seen her. She may pop up later, but I don't think so. I think it's just Bernie flying solo.
Where's Sandy? Get her out here. It's going to be like, we're going to be like the, from Greece. Sandy and Johnny. What was his name? Travolta's. Vinny. Vinny and Sandy together to fight the oligarchy. Get her in pink. I love her in pink.
But she's not there yet?
I don't think she's going to be there at all. I could be wrong, but it doesn't look like she's going to be speaking, unfortunately.
Well, she's busy on Capitol Hill filing impeachment articles, you know, busy.
I've got eyes on it, though, so if she does make an appearance, we'll throw to it.
All right, that's good. President Trump said Stephen A. Smith, this is cut number 10, he would be a good guy to run. Let's take a listen.
Stephen A. Smith may run for president, as you know.
I hope so.
Do you have any advice for Stephen A. If he launches the run?
No, Stephen A. He's a good guy. He's a smart guy. I love watching him. He's got great entertainment skills, which is very important. People watch him. You know, a lot of these Democrats I watch, I say they have no chance. I've been pretty good at picking people and picking candidates, and I will tell you, I'd love to see him run.
All right, there you go.
There you go. You know who's good friends with him, by the way, is Mark Levin, the great one. The great one, Mark Levin, loves Stephen A. Smith. They're very close friends. But he'd never get to have a Democrat primary. He'd have to run as a Republican. And then he's got problems then because, you know, J.D. Vance is going to be there waiting. And who knows? Maybe Trump's going to run again for a third term. So, you know, I don't know. He's probably better off than staying in the Democrat Party, but he'll never make it out of a primary. No, I'm just kidding. Trump's not going to run for a third term. But nevertheless, you know, it's kind of fun to think about anyway. The big story today, if you missed it, is that Michael Waltz is out as national security advisor. Marco Rubio, as Secretary of State, will be taking over as the interim national security advisor. And Michael Waltz is now going over to the United Nations. He will be the United States ambassador to the United Nations. Some feel it's a demotion for him. possibly after the Signalgate fiasco. The articles that were written, I'll get into this a little bit later. Basically, this morning came out and gave all the reasons why he was getting ousted, but it turns out he's not ousted. He's just taking on a new role. My opinion is if Trump wanted to fire him, Trump would have fired him. He doesn't give people soft landings. When he wants you gone, you're gone. Soft landings are not a thing Donald Trump does. He just doesn't. That's not how he operates. So, and if there's more to come out about Signalgate, he'd want to get rid of him. He'd want him out. That's the bottom line. So putting him over into the national or the UN doesn't solve that problem. And, you know, everybody's been talking about the whole Bill Belichick thing. You know, his hottie little girlfriend, the 24-year-old, who has really emasculated the guy. I mean, in that interview, and she told him, we're not talking about that, and then stormed out. And according to TMZ, she was a nightmare. Jordan has amassed a real estate portfolio of $8 million since meeting Bill Belichick, since starting to date him. So she's getting super rich off this. I mean, obviously, she's 24. She's gorgeous. He's worth a lot of money. He looks like a Star Wars villain. I've always thought that about Bill Belichick. He looks like a Star Wars villain. And if he was Bill Smith and not Bill Belichick, a woman like that would never look at him, let alone marry him. Let's just be honest. Meaning that if he was Bill Smith without all of his money, but he's got a lot of cash. This is obviously a very lucrative arrangement. And he always has that look on his face. He's 73 years old. He's worth a ton of cash, and she's 24. She bought three multifamily homes across the Boston area in December for about $7.5 million each, inking millions of dollars in mortgage agreements within days, according to documents reviewed by Realtor.com. Earlier, she dropped $610,000 on a cottage in scenic Cape Cod town of Harwich, which she listed as her home address on the mortgage documents. Now, she's crazy. I'm just letting you know. I mean, you can look at her. You can see it in the eyes. She's got the crazy eyes. There's no doubt. The couple reportedly met in February 2021 when she was 20, and their relationship was first publicly revealed in June 2024, around the time she began showing up to her cheerleading practice in a $75,000 Porsche. Revelations about Hudson's seven-figure real estate portfolio come after an awkward Bill Belichick interview at CBS News left many wondering about how much control that she has over the superstar coach. Friends of Belichick told the New York Post they were shaking their heads after she cut off an interviewer's question about how the couple met to declare, "We're not talking about that." First reported by Daily Mail, Hudson's real estate portfolio suggests she has managed to grow her net worth since meeting Bill Belichick. Good for her. Hudson's properties include a $2.2 million Dorchester townhouse that was bought with a $1.2 million mortgage in December of 2023. The home is split into three apartments and rents for about $5,000 a month each. So she's making money. He's having a good time. You know what I mean? And eventually she'll either stab him to death or cook the kids or the grandkids bunny. There's no doubt about that. But what's really amazing is that in March, Belichick had requested Hudson be CC'd on all emails. On all emails. And that also includes with UNC Senior Associate Athletic Director for External Affairs and Strategic Communications. Her signature describes her as the chief operating officer of Belichick Productions. She is the COO, and she certainly gets the company in an upward direction. You know what I mean? Belichick broke up with his longtime girlfriend, Linda Holiday, in September 2023. She was 60 at the time. Jordan is 24 years old. So there you go. Belichick hit back at CBS and said it was a false narrative and fake news about the interview. This has gone viral along with the question of can 100 men beat a gorilla? I don't know how these things happen, but that's just the way it goes. So, and, you know, and just looking about this, all I keep thinking about is, boy, men make really stupid choices when their little brain thinks. You know what I mean? That's all I think of when I watch this. As this whole affair take, I just, all I keep thinking of is, When the little brain takes over, guys really make really bad choices, or maybe a great choice, depending on how you look at it. Maybe a great choice.
I think it's a great choice.
I mean, you know, if I'm 73, and I got his money, I'm probably going with Great Choice.
Yeah, you can't take the money with you. He's got $200 million. He impresses this young girlfriend with $8 million. And, you know, I don't think it's a terrible investment.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, what else are you going to spend your money on? You know what I mean? So, you know.
And you know what? I think you're probably right. His life expectancy is probably a little bit shorter now, because I could definitely see her, like, smothering him in his sleep or something.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, first of all, she's going to insist on getting married, and no prenup. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
No prenup. And then, yeah, one night he'll have a fatal heart attack with a knife through it.
Or maybe that little cottage in Cape Cod right by the water. Maybe he goes swimming and doesn't come back.
Yeah, he might go for a dip and, you know, I mean, he's a big guy. He might you know, float to the bottom.
He wore his Super Bowl rings into the ocean. It weighed him down. He can't find the
body.
Yeah.
This was no boating accident. It wasn't Jack the Ripper. It was his crazy girlfriend. You just see the scene in Jaws right now. So, there you go. I mean, you know, like I said, it's probably a choice we'd all make at 73 with $200 million and being, you know, single. But anyway, so what else do we have for you today? We have, I know what we have today. Francis Collins talking about the effects of polarization and misinformation on public health. But before I get to that, I got to bring up this story about China, because this is just amazing to me. You know, as we all learned very, very early on, China lies in so many different ways. And now the latest lie from China is that they're blaming us, the United States of America, for starting COVID-19. It's not the first time they've done this. They did this before by saying that we put it in TV dinners and then shipped them off to China. That was early on in the pandemic, they said that. But now China has pointed the finger at the United States for originating COVID-19, claiming America was attempting to shift the blame after President Trump declared the deadly disease was leaked from a Wuhan lab. The communist regime argued that substantial evidence suggested COVID might have come from the U.S. earlier than the outbreak in China, while insisting the lab leak theory was extremely unlikely. Quote, the U.S. government, instead of facing squarely in its failure in response to COVID-19 and reflecting on its shortcomings, has tried to shift the blame and divert people's attention by shamelessly politicizing SARS-CoV-2's origins, according to the Chi-Coms. The report also claimed COVID-19 was circulating around the U.S. earlier than it was officially determined. Well, that's true. It was. And the only reason why it was is because China let it out of the lab when our soldiers were over there for the Military World Games in the fall of 2019 and then brought it back to the United States of America, because the virus did not come from an undercooked fat burger with a side of pangolin fries and a raccoon dog aioli. It came from the freaking lab in China, but it was paid for with our dollars. And after this nonstop talk, I'm going to play for you a clip of Tulsi Gabbard with Megyn Kelly talking about other biolabs that we have financed, including in Ukraine, which was a conspiracy theory for a long time. And it's not a conspiracy theory. It's really, really true. The Chinese accusations come after the White House revamped its COVID-19 information earlier this month to push out the assertion that COVID-19 leaked out of a lab at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, which, of course, we all know it did. A lab-related incident involving gain-of-function research is the most likely origin of COVID-19, according to the CIA. And let's never forget the way that people like Francis Collins and Anthony Fauci and others tried to cover this up. In fact, they determined early on that it did not come from a lab, even though they had no way of knowing that, but they knew it came from a lab. So in other words, what I mean by that is, if they didn't know it came from a lab, they would have had no way to assess that it didn't. There was not enough evidence yet to make that determination, yet they still said it. But what we would later learn is that they all knew and right away thought, did we make this? Did we do this? Because they were funding gain-of-function research in the laboratory. So here's Francis Collins, a former director of National Institutes of Health, who should be in prison for his lies and his singing. We'll get to that next. Talking about the effects of polarization and misinformation on public health, something that this guy did better than anybody. And thank God now you got Jay Bhattacharya there. You got Marty Makary there. You got really good people who can transform these institutions away from people like Collins and Fauci. Cut 16.
as social media began passing all kinds of information to people that might have sounded credible, but was in complete discord with the actual facts, and bought a lot of people into crazy approaches that were not going to help them. And Jeffrey, the saddest story of all this, and it is unbelievably sad, is when you add up how many people lost their lives because of misinformation, just from basically deciding that the vaccine was not going to be for them. The Kaiser Family Foundation estimates between June of 21 and March of 22, 234,000 Americans died unnecessarily in graveyards today, like three jumbo jets crashing every day for 9 months unnecessarily. That is most unbelievably heartbreaking story. And that happened in the United States of America because politics and science got all tangled up. And when you mix politics and science, you just get politics.
How many people died because of the COVID vaccine? And how many people that he's talking about who died not because of COVID, but died because of something else and had COVID? So, you know, what I can't stand about these guys is, first of all, they paid for this virus to be created. And what I'm happy about now is Dr. Marty Makary is there, and he's looking into whether or not they're going to even approve the COVID shots for next winter. So the head of the FDA said Tuesday that the agency is now looking whether it will still approve COVID-19 vaccines for next winter, citing a lack of data on booster shots. We're taking a look. I can't comment on any particular application. As you know, we have a bunch of applications for those booster shots. He said many healthcare workers did not get the last round of COVID-19 booster shots, calling it a bit of a public trust problem. I think there's a void of data. And I think rather than allow that void to be filled with opinions, I'd like to see some good data, said Dr. Makary. His answers mark a change from during the Biden administration, when FDA officials backed plans to routinely update the COVID-19 vaccines each year. Last year, the FDA issued guidance on what strains should be targeted for the shots for the following winter. Updates to Moderna and Pfizer's COVID shots for the new strain were approved in August, but the CDC is also now weighing whether to significantly narrow its recommendations for COVID-19 vaccines. Makary's remarks echo his justification for delaying Novavax's COVID-19 vaccine, which was expected to get full approval on April 1st. There is broad population immunity, Makary said, and the big question is, does it provide a benefit? Without a study on the new formulation and product, we can't give an honest, evidence-based answer to that question. We do have broad population-based immunity, and I think that the fact is that we know that there are a lot of side effects to the COVID vaccine. We know there are. We know particularly there's heart issues. We know this particularly with young men. And so what I don't understand is why it's controversial to look into the data and make determinations. But again, this is what I mean about the expert culture. So guys like Collins and Fauci were able to get really, 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 really rich. And these guys were able to make a lot of money. And people got rich off of them with all kinds of grants. And people were able to use that money to create viruses. And pharmaceutical companies got rich on both ends, creating the virus and then trying to create the treatment for the virus. And there's a lot more to this that's coming out. So let me play you. Actually, I'll play it now. This is Tulsi Gabbard with Megyn Kelly. And, you know, talking about her role as director of national intelligence, what I particularly love about this administration is the way that there's a lot of symbiosis going on here. Before I do that, though, let me play Francis Collins singing so that you can wish that you had 100 gorillas beating you to death. Shall we play Somewhere Past the Pandemic? Matt DeSantis' favorite song. This is his ringtone, by the way. If you call DeSantis, this is what comes up.
Whenever I see Francis Collins in the news, I get excited because I know this is an excuse to play his hit song from November 2021.
Now, just when you listen to this song, imagine you have a nice bowl of oligarchy and some nice focaccia to dip it in while you enjoy maybe a nice glass of red wine. You could enjoy this, right? Take a listen.
Somewhere past the pandemic, when we're free, there's a life I remember full of activity. Somewhere.
This is why I want this scene in Animal House, where Belushi comes over, grabs the guitar, and smashes it.
stay well and healthy thanks to a safe vaccine. Thank God.
No, you can't do the second chorus, please. Please.
Like a fine wine, it just keeps getting better and better.
By the way, speaking of fine wine, did you see there's a new study that says champagne is good for you?
I did not.
So McDonald's sales are down. You know, you got to start going to McDonald's again, DeSantis.
I was at McDonald's today trying their new crispy strips. They were pretty good. I give them a thumbs up.
You didn't take my son to McDonald's the other day when you were driving back from D.C., though. I'm just saying.
I didn't know he was hungry. I wish he had said something. Now I feel terrible. I would have happily stopped at McDonald's.
He doesn't like McDonald's, believe it or not. Oh. He's not a fan.
Really? I thought kids loved McDonald's.
My son is an outlier. He loves Chick-fil-A, but he's not a McDonald's guy.
I do like Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A is pretty good.
They say McDonald's sales are down. I wonder if that's because of MAHA. Now that like I think Trump alone single-handedly not eating it is probably causing their sales to go down because he's given up on McDonald's now.
Wait, so, really? Is that true?
Yeah, just him alone could cause their sales to plummet. I don't know. I mean, that's the rumor. I don't know if it's true or not.
Their prices are a little bit steep now, too. I think that might be part of the issue because you could go to McDonald's, you know, in the past and grab a cheeseburger for like $1.50 or something. I got a cheeseburger today along with the chicken strips, and I think it was $3 just for the burger.
Yeah, I mean, it's not cheap for a lot of people that used to be a cheap way to feed their family. Not so much. So those prices got to come down. I'm just saying. But don't they have their $5 bag, or is that another one of the fast food chains?
I think that's Wendy's.
Is that Wendy's?
Yeah, I think so.
Their social media is great when they make fun of people like Katy Perry. I love their social media.
I didn't realize they did stuff like that until the social media team went after Katy Perry. That thing went viral, and now I think I'm team Wendy's now, too.
And Wendy's, and Katy Perry was whining about how people weren't giving her respect. But Wendy's, their Twitter handle says, "We like our tweets the way we like our fries, hot, crispy, and better than anyone expects from a fast food restaurant." So their question was 100 fries versus one girlfriend who said she wasn't hungry. That's pretty funny.
That's pretty good.
That's very good. Because their tweet to Katy Perry was, "I kissed the ground and I liked it." And that went viral with 11 million views.
I think the one that really went viral was when there was the announcement that Katy Perry had landed after being in space, and Wendy said, "Can we please send her back?"
That's right. Yes, that one went viral too. I'm trying to find that one, but... Well, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll play Tulsi Gabbard talking about those bio labs. I just want to mention, you know, there's also some great meltdowns. Jasmine Crockett with another meltdown today. That's a good one we got for you. We can't miss one of her daily meltdowns. I was actually asked about that on Newsmax this morning. Shameless plug, I know. I know, I can't help myself. And we have tickets to give away to Politics and Pints. So we'll do that when we get back. But I want to tell you, you know, I really love the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey for so many reasons. And just you heard Patrick talk about it the other day. They have that beautiful outdoor heated pool, the indoor heated pool, the game room for the kids. The food at Hemingway's restaurant is outstanding. They have an oceanfront, I mean, right on the oceanfront there. They have a beach concession stand, pool bar, outdoor heated pool, indoor heated pool. The rooms are great. The people are great. And now is the time for you to book your June midweek stay. So the longer you stay, the more you're going to get in resort credits. What are resort credits? Well, resort credits can be used to buy food and drinks at Hemingway's restaurant or the outdoor pool bar, beach concession stand. You can even take the family on a whale watching boat cruise. And you know, the whales are doing okay now that we've stopped all the sonar mapping. We're not talking about dead whales and dolphins anymore, which is great. So you can go enjoy the whales again. All the options are there for you at the Grand Hotel when you get the resort credits. It's their way of giving back to you, so that you can enjoy your time there even more. And the June midweek stays are very popular. So book today by going to grandhotelcapemay.com and always compare. Always book direct with them for the best rates. Now, we will be there for our next live show on June 20th, all right? June 20th, you'll see that it's a lot of fun. And you always want to book direct with them because you'll get the resort credits. If you don't book direct with the Grand Hotel of Cape May, you won't. So go to grandhotelcapemay.com. And trust me on that. You want to do it that way. Plus, if you're looking for a place to do a wedding or a baby shower, beachfront weddings, the beautiful, the kind of stuff of fairy tales, reach out to my friend Caitlin at grandhotelcapemay.com today. She'll make your event very, very special. And we'll see you there on June 20th.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
We got a lot going on, but we have Politics and Pints coming up Tuesday night. Tuesday, May 6th, Politics and Pints. And you should get your tickets today to join us. So Nick and Dawn and Dom and me, and we'll all be on stage together. It's going to be a lot of fun. Before that, we're going to be live at the Great American Pub on Bridge Street in Phoenixville. They're going to have Miller Lite specials. So join us for that, the Great American Pub. And get your tickets today for Politics and Pints by going to 1210WPHT.com. All right? You can grab some food at the Great American Pub, grab some drinks at the Great American Pub, whatever you want to do before the show. It'll be from 3 to 6. And then we'll go over to Politics and Pints. All right? So make sure you join us for that. And that's on Bridge Street in Phoenixville. And they'll have Miller Lite specials. Not Bud Light. Miller Lite. So there you go. Okay. I also want to mention to you, you know, I particularly love Tulsi Gabbard. I mean, I love Tulsi Gabbard. But I love the fact that Tulsi Gabbard is going there when it comes to looking at these labs in places like Ukraine. Before I get to that, I want to play a clip of Jasmine Crockett. I was asked about this morning. And this is Jasmine Crockett talking about deportations. Take a listen.
As far as I'm concerned, you randomly kidnapping folk and you throwing them out of the country against their civil rights, against their constitutional rights. And frankly, how would they feel if some other country decided that they were going to just start throwing people randomly in our country? Like that is absolutely insane. So yes, all I gotta say is y'all need to get these fools out of here.
Speaking of olives and garlic oligarchy, if you were actually going to be in Italy, say you went to Italy and you were going to watch the conclave or whatever, and you didn't leave, you wouldn't be, to put it to Jasmine Crowley, you're going to be deported. You're going to get kidnapped, as she puts it, and deported. She says how crazy it is to be throwing people in other people's countries. She's talking about the Trump administration sending illegal immigrants to places like Uzbekistan, which Jasmine Crockett could not find on a map and probably 5 minutes ago thought it was a Star Wars character. But Uzbekistan has a relationship. We've signed. We're going to pay them money to house illegal immigrants. She thinks that's crazy. But the truth of the matter is that if you overstay your welcome in a country, you're going to get deported. She calls it kidnapping, but that's when the authorities take you against your will because nobody wants to willingly be placed under arrest. So, I mean, you can call it kidnapping if you want to. Getting arrested and then being deported is not a fun process, but nevertheless, it is more of the outrage theater is what that is. Outrage theater. It's what they do. It's just like what Charlemagne the God called out. You know, the outrage theater the Democrats do, and it doesn't work for them. People want to see violent, criminal, illegal, wife-beating immigrants deported. They do. They want to see that. The only people who have sympathy for this Abrego Garcia guy are Democrat lawmakers because they're hearing only from their base, and they're the same people that are also doing the Palestinian encampments. Now, James Carville has been talking about this battle that's going on in the Democrat Party. He and David Hogg are fighting with each other right now. There's an absolute civil war going on in the Democrat Party. Bill O'Reilly loses it while calling Carville out. Take a listen to this clip.
I would not extend these billionaire tax cuts, and I would not pay for them by clobbering the middle class and the lower middle class by cutting Medicaid expenses, of which
he said he wasn't going to cut Medicaid.
Go watch the budget that's been submitted. It's already got 600. He said he was going to end the war.
There's nothing about cutting Medicaid in the budget.
Did he say I'm going to end the Ukraine war?
It's a bunch of bull and you know it. Medicaid cut when there isn't.
Excuse me for thinking why you're interrupting me.
I am. This is ridiculous. And he does it every night.
Can I make a point?
Yes, go ahead.
He was going to end the Ukraine war on day one.
Oh, come on. Oh, it's absurd. What did Biden do for 4 years in there? Nothing.
Drive
me nuts.
He said he was going in the Ukraine.
Can't tell by your demeanor.
Please fact check me. Somebody look it up on your cell phone. Did Trump say I'm going to end the Ukraine war on day one?
And I was going to wear an LSU T-shirt, but I'm not now.
You don't have to.
Can I ask a quick question?
We'll get
all right,
over
so
it.
Let's stop it there. So, you know, the observation here is that what Carville's doing is he's trying to do the opposite fear-mongering. Still fear-mongering, but this is the fear-mongering on the economy about things like cuts to Medicaid and Medicare and Social Security. So good for O'Reilly for calling him out on this, because you have two lanes. The one lane is you freak out about constitutional crisis when it comes to illegal immigration. The second lane is freak out about how they're going to cut your Social Security and Medicare benefits, and they're going to do all these things to you and destroy you. And remember this now, it's good for O'Reilly to say, how can you say there are cuts if there are not cuts? Exactly. Exactly right. So thank you to Bill O'Reilly for pointing that out to James Carville. But he is old school. So he's going to fearmonger on the economy, because remember, his whole thing is it's the economy stupid. So he's going to fearmonger on the economy as much as he can by saying that you're going to have all this and the billionaires, they're going to get more. And we're going to, I say, we're going to cut your Social Security and your Medicaid, your Medicare. It's News Nation. I don't really get it. I don't really understand the whole thing. I don't get it. It's not my bag, as they say. The Lester Cuomo, I can't stand that one guy with the hair. What's his name? Leon Vitter. What's his name? I can't stand that guy. Oh my God. He was on Fox years ago and I would go on there, and he was such a snarky guy. And then they fired him at Fox. Thank God. And he's over there now. And I don't know, but what are you saying now about Dave Weigel?
Oh, yeah, there's a report from Semaphore that the DNC is at least considering annulling the election that made David Hogg vice chair for the sake of diversity is the reason. So there's
why they have enough beta white guys. Is that why?
Basically. So I think they're also sick of David Hogg already. And this is like the excuse that I guess most of the DNC will find tolerable. But there's a challenge being put forth by Kaylin Free, who's a Native American attorney and a party activist within the DNC. She lost the vice chair spot to Hogg. And now the DNC is holding this virtual meeting on May 12th to try to determine the validity of her challenge.
Ah, I see. Interesting. Well, what can I tell you? David Hogg should have never been there, but it's not my party, so I'm happy to have them tear each other apart. I do love the battles between Carville and David Hogg, though. I do like that. That's a lot of fun.
Well, now
it's fun to watch, isn't it?
Now they're getting along, though.
Wait, since when?
Since like yesterday. Carville said that he talked to David Hogg on the phone, and Hogg had, I guess, a pretty good reason as to why he wanted to disrupt the establishment, and now Carville's all in.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Which is shocking, because it's, I mean, look, if David Hogg wants to spend $20 million challenging safe Democrats in primary fights,
by all means,
go for it, because it's not going to end well. But, I mean, realistically, looking at it as an outsider, that's a terrible strategy, especially when the House seemingly is up for grabs in 2026.
Yeah, they'll kill each other in primaries, and then they'll all be depleted for the general.
They'll have nothing left in the coffers.
They'll have nothing left in the coffers, and there'll be so much bitter, bad blood that they'll lose in the general, and it'll be great. All right, that's the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria. Go see him today. Two locations, St. Vincent and Woodbury. It's May. It's time for you to see a dentist. Make Dr. Mike your choice, VeneriaDental.com. We're coming right back. Tulsi Gabbard highlighting what we've always known, Ukraine biolabs. Turns out, kids, it was not a conspiracy theory after all. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Tickets to Politics and Pints right now. If you're caller number 12 at 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210, caller number 12, you're going to get a pair of tickets to Politics and Pints Tuesday night in Phoenixville at the Colonial Theater, and you'll join us for a great night there. All right? So caller number 12 right now. And yes, we will be at the Great American Pub. Before that, I'm looking at their menu, too. They have brick oven pizza. Looks good. And they've got smash burgers. I noticed, Sam, that you're a big smash burger guy. So the menu looks great. So now I'm excited, because I'm going to be starving, no doubt about that. So make sure you join us for that. Great American Pub on Bridge Street in Phoenixville. Enjoy those Miller Lite specials, and good luck If you want your tickets to Politics and Pints, go to 1210WPHD.com. 1210WPHD.com. Yeah, I'm distracted by the five is showing videos of Jordan doing yoga on her Instagram with Bill Belichick holding her up while she lays a... Anyway, should be a warning about that. Let's play Tulsi talking about the labs, shall we?
Oh, sorry, we're loading it. Here we go.
But the thing that we are working with Jay Bhattacharya, the new NIH director on, with, as well as Secretary Kennedy, is looking at the gain of function research that in the case of the Wuhan lab, as well as many others around, many of these other bio labs around the world, was actually U.S. funded and leads to this dangerous kind of research that in many examples has resulted in either a pandemic or some other major health crisis.
Well, let me ask you specifically, because we already know that EcoHealth Alliance was partnering with this Wuhan
right.
lab to create, to do gain-of-function research.
That's right.
We just have never been able to have somebody say, and it was that exact experiment that led to this COVID bug. But have we gotten there? What's the new thing that you're digging in on?
We are working on that with Jay Bhattacharya and look forward to being able to share that, hopefully very soon.
Okay.
That specific
link.
Correct. Between the gain of function research and what we saw with COVID-19.
I mean, that would be extraordinary because just so the audience knows, if that's true, if it was Peter Daszak's research with the Wuhan so-called bat lady that caused this pandemic, then we did fund it. Then Anthony Fauci helped fund the pandemic.
The thing that he denied over and over and over to Senator Rand Paul's questioning.
That's right. Under oath.
Under oath. Exactly. So is it any wonder that he sought a preemptive pardon for anything during a certain period of time by President Biden before he left office?
And then strong-armed and smeared people like Dr. Jay Bhattacharya. Exactly. Anybody who came out and said, I don't know if that's natural. This right. actually smacks of lab.
And the reason why this is so important is not just what happened in the past. It's because this gain of function research is happening in bio labs around the world. I got attacked, and I think you saw this. We've probably talked about it on your show before, when I warned against U.S. funded bio labs in Ukraine when the Russia-Ukraine war kicked off. For this very reason, who knows what kinds of pathogens are in these labs and if released could create another COVID-like pandemic. And for that, I was called a Russian asset. You're, you know, trumpeting Putin's talking points, all of this nonsense simply for speaking the truth and stating facts that, by the way, are still on U.S. Embassy Ukraine's website today about how the U.S. has funded these bio labs in Ukraine. But my point is, in order to prevent...
Right. We got a big fourth and final hour coming up straight ahead for you. We're going to get into a lot of things, including the Supreme Court case regarding religious charter schools. And I'll give you the breakdown on the craziness in Washington as well. And Charlie in Orland, you won the tickets to Politics and Pints. We'll see you Tuesday night, Charlie. Get yours at 1210WPHD.com. We're coming right back.